Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. It's the
Sandman. You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his loss.
Here's the Sandman.
Well, this past week, we saw a lot of information that we're going to talk about how you want to think about investing as we move forward the next couple months. Now that we've striked back against Iran, what's going to happen? Add to that this Prop 19 and where it's going with taxes. You're going to want to hear about this. I have a special guest today to talk to you about Prop 19 and what you can do about the terrible inheritance tax. Good morning. This is David Hollander. I am the Sandman here at Protect Your Assets. So this past week, we had all sorts of information from the Fed, from economic numbers, from the government in response to what's going on in the Middle East. All sorts of things have been going on, and people are wondering what's going to happen. So if you are interested in any of this, well, stay tuned because we have a great show for you today. So what happened this week? It's now, let's go for the market. We had the Dow. The Dow was up 1.4% for the week. S&P up 1.4. NASDAQ up 1.1. The international index up 0.4. 10-year Treasury went up a little bit as a result of what we saw yesterday, Friday. I'll talk about that in a minute because Chairman Powell wasn't talking about this. 4.02 on the 10-year. So over that 4% mark. And oil. Down 7.2% for the week, closing at 72.37. Bonds up a little bit, 0.4%. So what a week. A lot of information. So this past week, really from an economic perspective, I thought it was a pretty big deal, and I'll tell you why. I think it gave us a look behind the curtain at some things that are actually happening. And so in my mind, there were six things that happened this past week that I want to go over. And I think they really do show us what's coming. And so I don't want you to get a little bit overexcited here just because the market seems to say so. So in order of importance, certainly the Fed was the big deal until about Wednesday. And as you probably heard, they didn't do anything. But I'll talk about that in a minute. The second biggest deal this week was the ISM Manufacturing Index. That's the index that measures all the things that are being made around the country. And that's been on a recessionary base. It's been under 50, which means that things are shrinking. Well, we didn't see that. In fact, on Thursday, we saw that number come in at 49.1 versus the expectation of 47.4. As it gets higher, closer to 50 and above 50, that means that we're expanding. That's inflationary. You add to that the jobs number that we saw that just came out, and that was a big deal. That blew away all the expectations. They were estimating the jobs numbers for January to be at 185,000. It came in at 353,000, so almost double what was expected. That's inflationary. You have the estimates of unemployment. The rate was estimated at 3.8%, and again, rising because unemployment should be rising if things are slowing down. Came in at 3.7, held steady. We're talking, haven't seen these sort of numbers since Nixon. You've got average hourly earnings. This is, again, another inflationary sign, up 4.5% year over year, up 0.6%. Again, the estimate was lower than that. So we have these pressures. Now, when that came out on Friday morning, why didn't the S&P 500 pull back? In fact, it went on to set new highs. So that's where you have to stop and ask yourself a question. What's going on here? Why are things that should be happening one way are going another? Then you've got things like the Fed and the Fed talking. And so what did Chair Powell have to say and why does that matter? Because I think it does. So Thank you for the question. This came to me from Larry. Larry in Fremont, he asked, was the Fed meeting hawkish? And I am going to say maybe. I said no on Wednesday, but I'm going to say maybe today. Here's why. Stocks had a pretty big decline on Wednesday as Chairman Powell was speaking and he was saying what he was saying, which I'll dissect here in a second. The market went down. It was the biggest down day we've seen so far this year. And the bottom line was the Fed said, look, we're not going to cut rates in March. And that's one of the reasons it dropped. But I'm not going to say it's the only reason, because other things matter. Like what? Remember, we've been talking about earnings from companies and actually how much money they're making, and that really does matter. So who announced this past week? We had Microsoft, Google, Apple. There were some disappointing earnings, some disappointing things happening, and those stocks got pounded that day a little bit, and then throughout the week started to come back. The other big deal we had this week was the banking crisis. Remember a year ago what was going on with the banks? Well, we had a regional bank problem with NYCB. Then you had the Fed, who was sort of down the middle. All right, let's talk about it. So on the banking side, what do we have to be looking out for there? New York Community Bank. They absorbed, you may remember, Signature Bank in the East Coast last March. And this past week, when they announced their earnings, the stock went down almost 50% at the lows for the day. Why? Well, because the earnings were disastrous. And they also said, we're going to cut your dividend on the stock from 17 cents a share to 5 cents a share. So do we need to worry about the regional bank stress again? Maybe. Here's why. Here's the interesting part of this description from the bank. Remember, the nexus of regional bank stress last year came from mismanagement of interest rate exposure. Remember Silicon Valley Bank? They had a massive amount of what's called mark-to-market losses on their balance sheet, same with Signature Bank, because the banks, they invested heavily in these longer-dated treasuries over the past several years. So when the Fed started hiking rates last year, the, I'll call it notional value, it means what they trade for on a daily basis. If you look at your statement, you go online, you look at the value of something each day, you see it moves around a little bit. That's notional value. It's market value. And as the Fed was raising rates, those values started to do what? They went down in a big way, particularly on the longer dated bonds. So what that did to the bank's capitalization is it made that go down because the bonds weren't worth as much. And so you have to have a certain amount of reserve when people want to demand their cash. It's just the way it works. I know I'm kind of oversimplifying this, but that's essentially what happened. That's not why NYCB plunged this past week. The bank declined this past week for several reasons. First, they acquired Signature Bank. And that was a much bigger bank than they were. And that made them have higher capital ratios. And that was one of the big reasons here. The second reason was their loan loss. When they absorbed this other bank, they went from $45 million of loss to $552 million. Next, they logged a $185 million net charge-off in the fourth quarter. That was 10 times more than they've done in the last 10 years in one quarter. What was the bulk of that write-off? Well, if you dig a little deeper, scratch the surface, you'll see it came from two large loans. When we talk about large loans, what do you think about? What costs a lot of money to buy? And if values start to drop, then what? Think about buildings in San Francisco. Remember some of those buildings on California Street that a couple years ago were worth $300, $400 million? They traded for that. You can see that. What are they trading for today? 10 cents on the dollar. So who's paying that difference? Where is that going? Well, you're seeing it right now. The write-offs, banks. So it seems to be a case of the bank expanding rapidly, yes, not adequately communicating or understanding possibly the financial implications of what they bought, what it means. And so there you go. So is this systemic? Is this something we got to watch for other banks? It's possible, particularly if they have a lot of commercial loans out there in areas that are being devastated by what's going on. So all I'm saying today is you better be paying attention to what you own because there could be some problems. Now let's switch to Powell real quick in the FOMC. I know you heard the headline, didn't change rates. Okay, so what? Well, he did say, and this is what I liked about this particular meeting, because I'm usually sitting there eating my lunch, listening to him talk, and sometimes he's so boring and unclear and doesn't say things that make any sense. But I thought this was one of the best ones I've ever seen. He actually took questions and was answering them in a way that I understood. And what I took away from what he was saying was that they were not going to raise rates anymore. That's good news. I also took away from it that the growth and inflation, quote, this is what he said, coming into better balance. So balance, right? Now, as I started this segment, I talked about things on the inflationary side. And I haven't really talked much about the things on the non-inflationary side. So you see where I'm going with this? I'm looking for the balance, Mr. Powell. Where is it? Anyway, what he did say quite clearly, and this is why, another reason why the market went down on Wednesday, was that they're not going to cut rates in March. He pushed back on that squarely. So the market now is thinking, well, it's going to happen in May. Remember I said last week, the market's expecting a certain amount of cuts, and if it doesn't get it, then what? If the momentum continues on, which remember, we just closed Friday at 49.59. You know what the resistance level is on the top? If you listened last week, you know I said 49.69. It's 10 points away. Let me explain that. If we get through 49.69 and we close above that and there's some good volume, 5,000's next. Why? Because the train's on the tracks, it's moving with energy, and that's the direction. You understand? Doesn't make sense because you had bad news. Market still went up. So we're in one of those right now. When I come back, because we're in this environment right now, I've identified some trends that are developing that you might want to think about if you're going to be allocating capital into the stock market. And then we're going to talk about this Prop 19 and what you can actually do about it when I come back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and our goal is to help all of our listeners live a more productive, less stressed out life when it comes to your money, taxes, or passing assets on to your family. And this past week, we had all kinds of information. It looked like it was setting up to be a decent week, and then all of a sudden we had Microsoft, we had Google, Apple, all these companies starting to report. And there was some disappointment, and some stocks got a little bit hammered, but then anything that was connected to AI, like Meta, Microsoft, they didn't have such a bad week. Actually kept going up. And so the question was asked, with that job numbers that just came out, all this inflation that seems to not be going away, what do we do from here? Really great question. So let's talk about some themes that are developing, shall we? Especially around this AI. Because I want to just say, longer term, I think these could make some sense to think about as an addition to part of your portfolio. Now, anything I'm going to talk about right now is not a recommendation. You should always do your own due diligence, consult your financial advisor, and never invest more than you can afford to lose. Remember that. All right, let's talk about it. Deglobalization and America's industrial renaissance, shall we? But before we talk about deglobalization, let's start with what globalization is. Globalization is the expansion of a market away from a single country to multiple countries. And this started happening after World War II. Following the war, the idea was, let's increase trade amongst as many people as we can and avoid another world war. Free trade and globalization work because of the law of comparative advantage. You might want to read a book called The Wealth of Nations. It was by Adam Smith. And what basically it said is, if I can make a right-handed spin widget more effectively, and you can make a left-handed spin widget more effectively, then I'll focus on the right hand, you focus on the left hand, and we'll both come out ahead. So the trend toward globalization boosted output, kept inflation in check overall. It was a golden age, and many who understood that became wealthy. Slowly but surely, these advantages started to disappear. For instance, the big benefit that companies were getting, you may remember this, I remember this, from outsourcing to China. Remember that all your friends' dads were going over there to Taiwan and Shanghai, and they were, right, making things for a lot cheaper than they could here, and things were pretty good. Well, what happened? Well, it's not that cheap anymore to buy and build because labor costs have gone up. And so if you separate urban China from the countryside, you have a solidly middle-income country now. Add to that the risks of China. There's political risk. The courts aren't necessarily fair. So that trend has been in place for several years, and so your friends' dads aren't going over there as much anymore. And then you add to that the pandemic hit. And you may remember under COVID, we saw firsthand how fragile the house of cards that you call global supply really was. Remember, we couldn't get things. They became much more expensive. That's why. Right now, we also have a war in Europe. I keep talking about this. In the Middle East, we just hit Iran last night. Not directly, but indirectly, and pretty directly. It's all over now. You'll hear it. So these factors are driving companies to reshore. What's the term you want to learn? Reshore and bring production home. But reshoring is expensive. Building out all the new infrastructure closer to home isn't cheap. If you remodeled your bathroom recently or did an addition, it's gone up a lot, hasn't it? So I'm talking about the signs that we saw this past week in the market segment. If you missed that, you can go back and listen to the podcast. I was talking about all the inflation signs that we're seeing right now. And this matters. Because as you see this trend that I'm talking about turning, imagine a giant freight liner out there in the sea. And all of a sudden we see something coming in the horizon. You can't just hit the rudder and have that thing turn on a dime. It doesn't work that way. You gotta start the corner now and arc it so you miss it ahead of time. That's what I'm talking about right now. It's going to involve trillions of dollars of spending in new modern infrastructure. So there could be an opportunity to invest in what we'll call these reshoring efforts. And one of the opportunities that's getting some traction right now, and you've heard about it, I'm sure, is replacing expensive and limited human capital, human resources, labor, with machines. This is what AI is. And last year it was pretty big. You may remember that it had the market go pretty good. And this past week, as I was saying in the previous segment, it happened again, and it's still happening. Because American labor market is strong. You just saw the jobs report. It was very strong. And we're trying to replace out-of-country labor here in the U.S., and it's not that easy. That's why there's all these help wanted signs out there. So all of that production being reshored can't be done with our current labor force. We just don't have the resources. So this is why AI is booming right now. Automation, robotics, smart logistics. Write those things down. Those are terms you want to look for when you start to look at companies that invest in the space. Because you're looking at a multi-decade expansion right now in all these industries that are thinking about this. So how do you start thinking about a trend like this as an investor? You could look for what I'll call an exchange-traded fund that focuses on segments of AI. And there are quite a few out there as you start to look. And make sure you read the prospectus, make sure you understand what you're getting into, what they buy, what they do, what their mission is, what they're focusing on. And if you really want to put your toe in there, you can buy individual companies that do this. But remember, those are much more volatile, usually because they're not as diversified. There's companies out there that all they do is help companies get automated, that help them redo their hardware, their software, their services, their business structure. They're focused on particular industries to simplify processes, make them more efficient. They're out there. You've heard about them. They advertise all the time. I can't be specific. You understand why. When you think about industrial automation, think about Amazon. You ever drive down Highway 5 and see those big centers out there? You see all the trucks coming in and out? Find out who put that together, right? Because that's where it's going. And look at the revenues those companies generate. Look how long they've been around. Look at what they focus on. Sciences, food, beverage, all those sort of things. People have to eat. So if you're thinking about a trend to develop into, I know some of these stocks that everyone's heard about are up pretty high right now. But there are a lot of opportunities still out there in these other areas I'm talking about, which aren't getting the attention. And that's okay. You don't want them to. Because that means maybe there's an opportunity. But again, we're thinking about this longer term because this will be part of your balanced portfolio for a long, long, long time. And so one way to combat inflation, one way to keep dividends flowing in, keep your portfolio growing, hopefully ahead of inflation and be participating in this space, is to talk to an advisor. And so if you're not really sure, you need some help, then this is what you can do. You can pick up the phone right now and you can call us, 866-PROTECT. Dial 866-PROTECT and find out how you can diversify your portfolio to get some exposure to these trends that we'll be talking about this morning. Particularly if you're seeing these stocks are just going crazy and you're wondering, is it too late to get into something like that? Or should I even buy something like that? That speculation gets you in trouble. So find out what makes sense for you, find out what's available, how you would incorporate that into your overall strategy, and then make a decision. 866-PROTECT. Now, when we come back, I've got a special guest this morning. We only have a limited amount of time to do something about Prop 19. And if you're wanting to pass on real estate to your family, you're going to want to hear about this in California because you have a limited time to do something about it. My guest will help you, help yourself, and many others. So when we come back, we'll be getting right into that. You are listening to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, and we'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I am David Hollander, and I am the Sandman. If you own real estate in California and you've thought about passing it on to your family, you've probably heard something about Prop 19. Well, my guest this morning is a realtor, and she is very involved in this issue. I want to welcome Marianne Osberg this morning to our studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you. All right. So, first and foremost, let's talk about Prop 19. What is it? How did you find out about it? Let's go right there.
Okay. So I learned about Prop 19 before it actually was voted in November. I am in real estate, and I had learned that the legislature was trying to force this in in their last week of the legislative cycle.
Right. And the reason was, what was the kind of the bottom line of because I remember reading the paper ballot in my house, right? They mailed it out to you. And there was something that popped out in my mind when I read it, which was?
That basically your property would be reassessed at date of death value.
Well, I saw it as firemen, right? Like it had to do with like some sort of recovery fund or something, right? I mean, it was.
Yeah. So the proposition was promoted as the home protection for seniors, severely disabled families, and victims of wildfire and natural disasters.
Okay. So we got fire. We got seniors. We got all these things that sound so great.
Yeah.
And then what happened? What actually happened?
And so basically, there was a lot packed into that proposition.
Yeah.
And so what they wanted to do was give portability to seniors. So expanding Proposition 60, expanding Proposition 90, so that you could move anywhere in the state with your current
tax basis. So the counties, I remember back then, like if you were a senior, if someone was over 55, you want to go, say, from Alameda to Orange County.
Correct.
You had to see if they actually had this symbiotic relationship before you would move. And so the idea was, well, let's make all the counties open so you could go wherever you want. That's the idea of portability?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So that's the good part of Prop 19.
Okay.
The bad part was that they were also taking two other propositions, our rights away, which was Prop 58 and 193.
Okay.
And so basically, if you were to inherit the family home from your parents upon them passing away or your grandparents, those rights were taken away.
All right. So just to be real clear here, if you're a child of somebody now who owns real estate in California and your parent or your grandparent passes away and you inherit that property, what happens to you as the child?
Basically, you have to go through a reassessment.
Okay.
So I can speak from my own experience.
Yeah, please.
So my parents, my dad was a vice principal for a middle school. My mom was a customer service rep at PG&E. And so they wanted to build a nest egg. They invested in real estate and turned out this small hobby side business that they had turned into an affordable housing provider business. We do that here on the peninsula. And so my dad passed away in 2001. My mom passed away 5 months after Prop 19 went into effect.
Wow.
And so, as mentioned, I do provide affordable housing in specifically like in Pacifica.
Yeah.
Pacifica is some of the most affordable housing.
Right.
In the Bay Area and on the peninsula. And so we were forced to, what we had to do, get a state appraisal by a California licensed appraiser. And then the county comes in and they do their own appraisal.
And how do they do that?
Great question. So the estate appraiser comes in. She looks throughout the properties and she gives you the value, does the comps.
Yeah.
The county does not come to your properties and go through, at least not in San Mateo County, does not go through your property and understand the nuances of each property, the ins and outs of them. You know, every property is different. So one property alone in Pacifica, I received the estate appraisal, and then the county came in and appraised it themselves again. So we're getting two appraisals on the same property. Mm. They appraised it 23% higher than the estate appraisal.
Okay.
So then I had to spend an entire year appealing that.
Wow.
And they still wouldn't come down to the estate appraised value. It was still $400,000 more.
You don't really have a lot of rights or choice. You just are kind of stuck with this thing.
You are.
And what's the practical impact of that to your tenants?
So the housing that we provide, most of my tenants are teachers, they are tradesmen, they're retirees, they're just starting out. So we keep our rents below market.
Yeah.
And when you have a 50,000...
Because you kind of have to. There's also something called rent control in California.
Yes, absolutely. So
and you can only raise it a certain percentage.
Right.
By law, by the way.
Exactly. So during the pandemic and with rampant inflation, we did not raise our rents. And we try to keep them low because our goal is if somebody wants to be able to go and buy their own home someday, that is the best notice to vacate we could possibly get. We just bought a house.
Yeah.
That's what we want. That's what warms our hearts. But now we have, besides all of utilities going up every year, this $50,000 increase, $50,000 increase in property taxes on top of what we already pay just for one property.
So let me unpack that a little bit, because for the children listening out there right now who have parents that have real estate that perhaps the parents or the children are hoping to keep in their family, right, and provide these benefits to their tenants, the reality of what you're saying here is that this increase in cost, which is significant, is not only disrupting the overall cash flow on the property, but it's making so you may not even be able to afford to own this property anymore, and you might have to sell it because you can't really keep it going. Is that what I'm hearing?
It keeps it tight. And what it also does is it forces us to increase our rents.
Exactly, because you have to be able to basically pay your bills. So
absolutely. And you know, buildings need maintenance, and especially in a place like Pacifica, it's like the Golden Gate Bridge. Sure. It's constant maintenance.
Sure. And now with the weather, you know, beating down our properties and our roofs failing, and there're not enough contractors to fix them, that also drives costs up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Been there, seen that.
Yeah. So when people think about Prop 19, it's not just people inheriting homes. It's those that have small businesses. It's tenants. They are absolutely affected by this. So it really affects everybody in the entire state. And so we're trying to turn that around. And
how are they trying to turn it around? Like, what's been going on?
So
it's the law now. So just everybody, you all know I'm an attorney. Just as you know, this is the law in California. If you pass away, even if you have a trust and you avoid probate, your kids, when they receive your property, they're going to get reassessed. They're going to go through what Marianne's talking about here with this sort of draconian reassessment. There's not much they can do about it. So they're going to have to pay more taxes. It's what's happening for sure right now. It's the law. You know, it is what it is. So what's been going on as far as trying to repeal this? Because ideally, this is not what people thought they were voting for, really.
Absolutely. So there was an effort, I think, a year or two ago to try to repeal the death tax. And so now this is a new effort. So if you signed an old petition, let's say back prior to August of 2023, that's a different effort. Fix Prop 19 is a new effort. We are trying to get the word out across the state to get everybody to go online to www.repealthedeathtax.com. Howard Jarvis is the one who's kind of really spearheaded this. And then there's a huge group of us that are also trying to get the word out via social media. We're doing signings around the state. You know, go on Nextdoor. You're probably going to see something about it. One thing also about Prop 19 is that, you know, it was all about funding the Firefighters Fund.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
The Firefighters Fund has received $0.
Zero.
Wow. And they don't anticipate ever receiving any money.
Wow.
Last night, Jeff Prang, who is the L.A. County Assessor, the largest county in the state, did a radio show, and he basically called Prop 19 a dumpster fire.
Wow.
And because of the way it was written. And so it's not good if, you know, the county, the legislature didn't get what they wanted. They wanted to fund the fire fund. They're not getting it. The money's not going there. The money's not going to the firefighters.
What a surprise. All right. So listen, here, we can help you this morning as well. So we'll do this. As you know, we have folks live here in the studio. 866-PROTECT. Go ahead and call now if you need help. We'll get you the form. Okay. You're going to have to fill it out yourself. You're going to have to send it in. But we will help you get this. So call 866-PROTECT right now. Talk to one of our live folks. Or you can go to the website yourself, which is?
RepealTheDeathTax.com.
If you want to do something about this, here's your opportunity. RepealTheDeathTax.com. Marianne, thank you for being here this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
We're back. I'm David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And we were talking about inflation at the top of the show because this past week we saw inflation roaring back with the jobs reports, the producer index, manufacturing index, all these things that were coming out showing us inflation's not going away. And you add to that a market that just keeps rallying on despite the fact we're getting negative news like the Fed not lowering rates in March like the market was thinking now. And so the question came up, where would you think about moving or investing some of your capital at this point, given where we are in this cycle? And so I've been talking this morning about some ideas and some themes you might want to think about and how you would think about investing in those if you are looking to do that. So I talked about the first one was AI and what that means and how you would think about that. All right, so we're talking about investing themes right now. And another area that I'm looking at, which I think makes some sense, is land. Mark Twain said it best, they're not making any more of it. What's more, large swaths of land are all but unusable. There's not a lot of demand for scorched desert or frozen tundra. And that makes land a decent investment when you're considering inflation, an inflation hedge. Many people do not have the capital or know how to go out and buy productive land. And when you add to it that whole Prop 19 issue we were just talking about with Marianne, you know, that makes it even harder. So many people who don't know how to own land or wouldn't want to because you have tenants not paying rent, you have toilets that need fixing, moving out in the middle of the night, even though they signed a 10-year lease. But there are ways to invest in land through your portfolio where you let professionals do it. These are called real estate investment trusts. No, there are many types of these REITs, as they're called. Some are private, some are publicly traded. Again, I'm not recommending anything here, and you should always do your own due diligence, consult your financial advisor, and never invest more than you can afford to lose. REITs focus on different types of properties, like multifamily, which are apartments, or commercial, or storage, or farmland. If it's real estate and it's out there, chances are you can find it through a particular type of REIT. Things to look out for as you start your search: how long have they been in business? What kind of real estate cycles have they been through and survived? See if they were around in 1988, 2000, 2008. What was the track record during that time? What is their process to buy a piece of real estate, and do they do any due diligence on those properties before they buy them? And if so, like what? Can you have access to those reports, those files? How many states do they own properties in? Think about diversification across different states to provide you different opportunities as markets move around in different areas. Think about San Francisco, for instance, what's going on there as compared to a booming city like Austin. Are they into farmland? Are they into storage? How many and what types of crops do they invest in? How diverse and who are their tenants? Economies boom and economies bust, but people still need a place to live, store their junk, and eat. So REITs overall could be an inflationary hedge and can hopefully protect your portfolio over time against what's known as dollar depreciation. And the supply of quality land is limited, and it isn't something that the Fed can just print. As an added bonus, REITs can pay dividends, which can help with income that you might need in retirement. What's another area I'm looking at right now? I've been talking about this for a while, energy. Energy is something that you might want to consider in your portfolio. When it comes to energy, you can invest in renewables like wind, solar, or you can also invest in traditional like oil and gas. Having wind and solar energy in your mix diversifies our power grid, so that's a good thing. But then you have a war like in Ukraine and now in the Middle East, and suddenly de-emphasizing American oil and gas seems like a bad idea. And there are lots of great areas and lots of great companies out there that are involved in that process. So if you're thinking about how you might get into something like that or how it could apply to your portfolio or what opportunities exist out there right now, well, then here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to pick up the phone right now and dial this number, 866-PROTECT. If you want to protect your portfolio from inflation, if you want to protect your portfolio from its purchasing power, if you want to develop more income. This one I love to see. We have so many clients who come in and they're getting a certain amount of income. They have no idea what's possible. When they see that they can get possibly more income from what we help them do, they get very excited about that and they figure out how to spend it. If you want to find out how to do something about this Prop 19 tax, well, we have answers for you. Call us right now, 866-PROTECT. You can pick up the phone right now, talk to a member of my team. We're here right now, 866-PROTECT. We are local, family-owned business, 866-PROTECT. We are happy to help you. I want to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And, of course, all my fabulous producers over there doing all that work. Raph, Phil, Cam, Adrian. Thanks, guys. Lucas, thanks, guys. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.